All right, everyone, let's dive right into this defamation case, Lorenz v. Donnelly. This one's really interesting because it hits on that tension, between free speech and protecting someone's reputation. And especially when we're talking about like public figures, it really makes you think, how far can someone go when they're criticizing someone who's, in the public eye?
Yeah, it's a fascinating case. And to really understand it, we gotta go back to 1994 and meet Carrie Lorenz.
Okay, take us back.
So she was one of the very first women to fly F-14 Tomcat fighter jets in the U.S. Navy, a very, very high-profile position, even I'd say controversial for the time.
Yeah, I mean that was a huge deal back then, and with this whole national debate raging about, women in combat roles. I mean, she was basically in the spotlight from day one.
Exactly. And that's where Elaine Donnelly and the Center for Military Readiness, or CMR, enter the picture.
Okay, so tell me about them. What's their role in all of this?
Well, after another female pilot, LTN Kara Holt Green, tragically died in a crash, Donnelly and CMR, they started publishing reports, making statements, basically questioning Lorenz's competence as a pilot. They even suggested she only got her position because, standards were lowered for women.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're basically saying she wasn't qualified, that she only got there because she's a woman. I mean, that's a pretty serious accusation.
Yeah, very much so.
So naturally, Lorenz sued for defamation, right?
So.
I mean, claiming these statements really hurt her reputation, her career. But here's the thing: the court actually sided with Donnelly. So help me understand this. Like, why would the court rule that way?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. See, the court decided that because of Lorenz's public role in this very controversial issue, she wasn't considered just a private citizen under the law. She was classified as a limited purpose public figure, and that changes things legally.
Limited purpose public figure. Huh, okay, break that down for me. What did that even mean?
Well, you can think of it like this. A public figure, even for a limited purpose, is someone who's, kind of thrust into the spotlight because of either their actions or their role in a specific public controversy.
I see.
And to figure out if Lorenz fit the bill, the court used something called the Waldbaum test. And this test has three main parts.
Okay, let's hear it. What are those three parts of the Waldbaum test?
All right. So first, there needs to be a public controversy, a hot topic everyone's talking about. And clearly, the debate about women in combat was massive back
Oh,
then.
absolutely, yeah.
Second, the person claiming defamation has to have played, a major role in that controversy. Lorenz wasn't just any Navy pilot. She chose to be an F-14 pilot. I mean, that's a super elite, very visible position at the very peak of this whole debate.
Right. So it wasn't just that she was in the Navy, it was the specific, very public role she chose to take on.
Got it.
So what's the third part?
The third part is what we call germaneness. Basically, the statements that are supposedly defamatory have to be directly related to the person's part in that whole controversy. And well, in this case, Donnelly's criticisms were all about Lorenz's skills as a pilot, which was like at the very heart of the debate about women in combat.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So three checks in the box: public controversy, major role, and direct connection to the issue.
Right.
But how does being a public figure actually change things legally, in a defamation case?
It all comes down to this idea of actual malice. It means, well, the public figures, they face a much higher burden of proof in these defamation cases. I mean, way higher than just your everyday citizen.
Okay, so what's different for them?
Well, they can't just show that the statements made about them were, false or damaging. They have to prove what's called actual malice.
Actual malice, huh? All right, so what does that mean? What does that actually
True.
entail?
Yeah, it's a pretty intense legal standard that comes from a landmark Supreme Court case. It's called New York Times v. Sullivan.
Oh, yeah, okay, I've heard of that one.
Basically, it means a public figure has to prove that the person making those statements, they knew those statements were false when they said them or published them, or they acted with reckless disregard for the truth, meaning they basically didn't care whether it was true or not.
So it's not just about like carelessness or bias. It has to be like deliberate.
Yeah.
They knew it was false and said it anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And proving that subjective intent, what someone actually knew or believed,
Yeah.
is it's incredibly difficult. And that's really why this higher standard exists for public figures. We want to encourage open debate on matters of public concern, even if those debates get heated or involve harsh criticism.
Yeah, that makes sense. We wouldn't want people to like shy away from these important conversations just because they're afraid of getting sued.
Right.
So So in Lorenz's case, did she manage to clear that very high bar? Did she prove actual malice on Donnelly's part?
Well, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, they ultimately ruled against Lorenz.
Oh, okay.
And there are a couple key points to unpack here, starting with how the court analyzed her public figure status.
Okay, let's dig into that. How did they justify labeling her a public figure?
Well, Lorenz, she argued that she was just doing her job as a Navy pilot, but the court kind of pushed back on that, saying that by choosing to be an F-14 pilot, especially during this, you know, really contentious period, she willingly stepped into a very public role.
Ah, so her choice of career path combined with the timing really, really factored into their decision.
Absolutely. They even said in the ruling, when she suited up, she could reasonably have expected to be in the spotlight. Mm. And they even compared it to another case, Gertz v. Welch, which basically says that if you voluntarily jump into a public arena, you can't really complain when the spotlight shines on you.
Yeah, interesting. So what about the actual malice part of the case? Like, did the court find that Donnelly knowingly published false information about Lorenz?
See, this is where it gets a little more nuanced. Donnelly, mm-hmm. she did rely heavily on this one source, the L.T. Burns, who was one of Lorenz's flight instructors, and he was very critical of her abilities.
I see.
Now, you could argue that leaning so heavily on a potentially biased source like that might show reckless disregard for the truth, right?
Yeah, I can definitely see how relying on someone who, you know, maybe has an axe to grind could raise some red flags.
Right, right. But here's where it gets more complex. The court found that Donnelly, she didn't just rely on Burns. She also reviewed Navy records and other sources. And what's more, she actually included the Navy's denials of her claims in her publications.
Oh, wow. So she was kind of presenting both sides of the story in a way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, the court, they saw that as evidence of good faith. Like, she wasn't intentionally trying to mislead anyone. And it's really crucial to understand here that just because someone has a strong opinion or bias, even if it's against, you know, women in combat, that doesn't automatically mean they're acting with actual malice. What the court was really looking for was proof that Donnelly knew her claims about Lorenz were false, and they just didn't find enough evidence to support that.
So even though her statements were, you know, critical, maybe even unfair, they weren't necessarily made with this actual malice. That seems like a very, very fine line to draw.
It is a very fine line. And that's exactly why these cases are so challenging. You know, the court was focused on Donnelly's subjective intent. Like, what did she genuinely believe when she published those statements? And based on the evidence, they couldn't definitively say that she knew they were false.
It really makes you think about, you know, how much leeway we give to opinions and criticism.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to, you know, people who are in the public eye.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've hit on a really fundamental tension here that our legal system, you know, it grapples with all the time. We want to protect people's reputations, but we also want to make sure that we have, you know, robust and open dialogue on matters of public concern. And Lorenz v. Donnelly really, really highlights how tricky it can be to strike that balance.
Yeah, no kidding. So we've got this, you know, public figure determination and this whole actual malice standard.
Yeah.
What are the long-term takeaways from this case? Like, what does it all mean in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, I mean, Lorenz v. Donnelly, it serves as a powerful reminder for lawyers who, you know, handle these defamation cases, especially those who represent public figures. It really highlights how tough it is, how difficult it is for public figures to win these lawsuits. I mean, proving actual malice, that's a very steep uphill battle.
Yeah, that's a great point. So what's the key takeaway for, say, lawyers advising public figures who might be facing, you know, potential defamation? What should they be keeping in mind?
Well, I think managing expectations is crucial. You know, public figures, they need to understand that they're inherently going to face, you know, more scrutiny, more criticism, maybe some of it unfair compared to private individuals. And winning a defamation suit, it's going to be extremely challenging. I mean, you've got that really high bar of proving actual malice.
Right. Like, they're kind of playing on hard mode from the get-go. Yeah. Are there any other, you know, important takeaways from this case for the legal world in general?
Well, Lorenz V. Donnelly, it also highlights, you know, the limited duty of publishers when it comes to investigating their sources. You know, they're not required to conduct these full-blown investigations every single time they receive information, right? The expectation is that they exercise reasonable judgment. And it's really only when there are very clear red flags, you know, like obvious inconsistencies or reasons to doubt the source's credibility that a more thorough investigation is actually required.
So it's about finding that balance, right, between protecting free speech, but also preventing the spread of, you know, blatant falsehoods.
Yeah, exactly. And while Lawrence E. Donnelly, you know, it dealt with a very specific set of facts, I think it speaks to a broader conversation about free speech in our society, especially with the rise of social media and the rapid spread of information, you know. It reinforces those strong protections for robust public debate. Those were established by New York Times v. Sullivan, and those protections apply even when the debate includes, you know, strong opinions, maybe even one-sided criticism.
It seems like this case is especially relevant in areas like, you know, politics or the military, where opinions are often strong and the stakes are really high.
You're absolutely right. Lawrence V. Donnelly, it forces us to really grapple with that inherent tension between, you know, safeguarding individual reputations, but also ensuring open discussion on these important public issues. And finding that balance is it's no easy feat.
No, not at all. This whole case really makes you think about where we draw the line, right? Like,
Yeah.
how do we protect reputations without stifling those crucial conversations?
Yeah.
Especially in today's world, where, you know, anyone with a social media account can basically become a publisher. It's definitely something to ponder.
It is. And it's a conversation worth having. I mean, the law, it's constantly evolving along with society, right? And cases like this one, they offer a glimpse into those ongoing debates.
Absolutely. Well, if any of our listeners want to, you know, explore this case further, we've included links to the full court opinions and some thought-provoking articles about the public figure doctrine in our show notes. And as always, thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. We'll be back next week with a fresh batch of sources and another captivating story to unravel.